Now I want to start slowing down a little bit, and I want to look at the principles of them, the principles of finance and our stewardship of them. As with anything, it's the little things. It's the little things that can make or break something, and so it is with finances and our stewardship over them. Since there's so much information in Scripture regarding money and the oversight of it, I want to break this next section down into what I call, and I already said it, the principles of finance. Some might just dive in and give you 10 principles and so on and so forth and go to several places in Scripture. I want to do it a little bit different. I think it's important to build a good base. I think it's important to build a good foundation, if you will. If we understand some foundational things, then we don't have to, I mean, Miss Linda gave me what's-his-name's book, and there's good principles in there. That's not the ones I'm looking for. I will eventually deal with those about saving money and how you spend and co-signing loans and tithing and missions given and all that kind of stuff. But I want to break it down a little bit different, and you'll see as we go along. I want to go a little bit slower, try to cover several of the finer aspects of finances, if you will. We've already looked at and could look a lot longer into, and I've already said this, the problem of finances. Then we looked last week at the purpose of finances. And so for the next few weeks, we will look at the principles of finances. And then eventually, in the midst of the principles, I will as well give some practices. I'll probably leave those to the end, the practices of finances, during or at the conclusion for us to utilize, that is when the study's over. Maybe a little cheat sheet, if you will, a little reminder. Some of the principles of finances we will look at next will be obvious, and some will not be so much. I said this already. It's not just taking a passage of Scripture. I don't mind exegeting Scripture, taking a passage or a book or so on and so forth and going verse by verse. This is a principle that's taught from Genesis to Revelation. Finances are mentioned all throughout the Bible, and I don't think we realize how much they are mentioned. And so some of the principles we will look at next will be obvious. Some will not be so much. For example, in regard to our health, and we're talking about stewardship, in regards to our health and the way we tend to our physical man, it is not extensively covered in Scripture, and yet it is vitally important to us as a whole. We are stewards over our temple. I've said this many times. I even preached one time down south about Eli. And I preached on Humpty Dumpty Had a Great Fall. And it was about Eli. And Eli fell, the Bible says, and broke his neck. Why? And it said why. He was fat. And that overweight demonstrated some lackadaisical aspects of his life that he wasn't a good steward over. And I'm saying this to my shame almost, you only have one body. I wish I would have known that, understood that when I was younger. Brother Donnelly and myself were talking about it the other day. You only have one, and you don't get replacements most of the time. They'll put some parts in there, but we're to be a steward over our body. What's the most mentioned prayer request in most Wednesday night meetings? It's health. And so we're supposed to be good stewards over it. As I said, it is not extensively covered at his health in Scripture, and yet it is vitally important to us as a whole. But when reading and studying, there's more than enough teaching and examples throughout Scripture for us to formulate a plan or principles that we could follow based upon the whole. And the whole being that even our bodies, as I said, are God's, and we must be good stewards over them and care for them as if they are his. Twizzlers probably aren't something that would be covered as something that would be good. You know, Twizzlers would fall under the poor stewardship like interest rate on a credit card, and I could go on and on and on. It is. I'm the more I study on finances, the more I realize I'm a steward over everything. And you know, I had somebody laugh at me not too long ago about I make statements that how you treat your car and how you look at your car demonstrates how much you love God. How you look at your house, I mean, if it's God's, it ought to be the prettiest one on the block. You're not doing it to rub it in somebody else's nose. You're doing it to take care of it. And I mean, and let me say this while we're at it. This facility isn't mine. It's everybody's. You see a piece of paper, you ought to pick it up. You see, and it ought to, well, somebody spilled something and you go get the janitor. Clean it up yourself. It's God's house. We're all stewards of it.
All right, that went over real good. So I guess the rest is going to go over good.
And so the whole being that even our bodies are God's, and we must be good stewards over them and care for them as if they are His. And they are. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 says what? Paul said this to the church. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so it is with finances. They are yet another aspect of stewardship and our understanding that they are as well God's. Finances, though, are the one thing regarding stewardship that the Scripture is abundantly vocal about. You can find all kinds of stuff about finances in Scripture. The more I study it, the more I see them in every passage almost. So if we were to properly cover the principles, then I would think we would at least have to start from the beginning. I hope I don't bore anybody with this, but we've got several people at different stages of life, stages of Christianity, and stages of finances. I think it's important to start at the beginning. I do want to say this before we go much further. I know many people can and tend to struggle to connect Old Testament principles with New Testament practices, or New Testament principles with Old Testament practices. I believe Leviticus became very eye-opening to me once I sat in a class, a Sunday school class, with a person that taught out of Leviticus, and he was a doctor. And he began to describe, you know, there is an interpretation, but there's also an application. I realize we can pray over our food. I realize that Paul rebuked Peter because he was trying to be a Pharisee one moment, and he was trying to be a Gentile the next moment. He rebuked him over his hypocrisy. He didn't rebuke him over his principles. You follow what I'm saying? If we follow the principles of Leviticus, we would be much more healthier as a people. And some people still stay away from, I would never eat catfish, they're bottom feeders. Or some people stay away from pork, and some people stay away from crustaceans. There used to be a time that lobsters were fed to prisoners. Can you believe that? Why? Because they're bottom feeders. They're crustaceans. And those are listed in the category of Leviticus that are not healthy. And what's one of the number one causes of death or whatever it is in America is heart disease. And if they ain't spraying our crops or doing something with our food, and chickens today don't look like chickens did when I was, man, a chicken wing today looked like a drumstick when I was growing up. Is anybody, I mean, they got chicken breasts like this you buy at the store. That's pumped full of steroids. And why? Because our society is not properly being good stewards over God's world. And so I don't want anybody to struggle to connect Old Testament principles with New Testament practices or New Testament principles with Old Testament practices. I say it is very easy to know when and where to, if need be, when to separate the two. Finance has no measure of separation to it. Hung on the cross to cover our finances. And I say that because so many confuse money or finances in the Bible as theirs, and the only aspect of it, finances, money, as theirs, personal. Brother O'Malley touched on that. I thought about that for the longest time. God gets the tithe, the rest is mine. It's all His. And I think some people still today believe that a tithe is just another bill. And when things are tight, they just don't pay their bill. And then they say, well, God understands. A careful study of the word tithe, or the phrase, the tithe, would clear that up quickly. Some somehow conclude that tithing or the tithe was a law in the Old Testament and is just a mere suggestion in the New Testament. The law was given Exodus 16 or Exodus 20. Way before the law was given, Abraham was tithing. And I say way before Abraham tithed, there was other people tithing. They understood the principles. It's amazing how many people had wealth and fame and riches or whatever terminology you want to use in the Old Testament before they had a complete Bible and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't see a lot of principles, if I can call them that, if you will, that are outlined clearly in Scripture that Joseph just... But yet, look what he did. He led one of the most history, carnal history will tell you that Egypt was one of the most powerful societies in the world at one time. I wonder why. And then there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And then look what took place. Some somehow conclude that tithing or the tithe was a law in the Old Testament, and it's only a suggestion in the New Testament. No amount of proper study could ever conclude that. If anything, it is a starting point or an expectation in the Old Testament only to grow further from there. I'll leave that alone. And we also briefly covered this in the purpose of finances. So let's look at our first principle. The letter for our principles will be O. I'm just trying to bring some life to some of y'all, man. Just help me, Lord. First principle, which I referred to for this study, is the origin of finances. It is imperative in laying down principles for us to understand, can I say this, their origin. Got to know where they come from. Because if not, then somebody says, well, that's just your opinion. You know what I'm saying? And I believe God has it all settled for us. So we see the origin of finances. If a person cannot fully understand and realize that God is the owner and the originator of everything, then they will never fully be able to understand and utilize properly the finances that will be given unto him or that passes through their hands in their lifetime. You know, you think about it once you start learning biblical principles. Has anybody ever grown in a Christian and you say, boy, I wish I would have known that when I was younger? This is the same thing. Has anybody ever said, boy, I wish I would have known about finances years ago. I've had so much pass through my hands. I could have been a better steward of them. Yeah, there's going to be grace. There's going to be forgiveness. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we see the origin of them. For us to fully understand that, I think it's necessary to begin where God begins, and that is in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm going to highlight these, if you will, and we'll see how far we can get, okay? Again, I can stop at any time and continue on. I want to establish a foundation, a principle, and a practice. Genesis 1 and 2 does that. Again, I don't want to sound insulting when I teach on some of these things. I'm learning with you in the process of this. But the Bible is not just a book of salvation. I think too many people think it's just a book about salvation. Yes, that might be one of the main themes of it. But it is not just a book of salvation. That's why people say, I'm saved. And then you watch it sometimes in church. I've seen people that have been saved for 40 years and they don't look like they've been saved 4 days. Because they think that the Bible, the Word of God, is just a book of salvation. I got saved. Or you ever hear people say testimonies, and their testimony always encompasses this. And I don't think it's wrong to maybe start here. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. And then there's nothing else. There's nothing that's been built upon that. I want to stand up and testify. Man, I just can't believe all the principles that are in the Word of God that have helped me. Pick the right spouse. Learn how to talk right, walk right, spit right, everything. There's so many principles in there. But most people in your average church, all they testify of, I just want to thank the Lord I'm saved. Well, there's more to it than that. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And some people think that the Bible is nothing more than a book of salvation. And I say it's a whole lot more than that. It's a book of beginnings. It's a book of answers. And the four most basic questions asked can be found in Genesis. I'm sure most people know these. Everybody has these questions at some time or another in their life. Who am I? And the Bible answers the question of identity. Do you want to know why society is struggling now with identity? Because they don't know who they are. The Bible tells them, if they study the Bible, they can tell them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. God makes no mistakes. God understands everything he's doing. The problem is we don't read and understand that he knows what he's doing. So we're confused by it. And the Bible answers that question. Genesis answers that question. Who am I? Speaks of identity. Secondly, what is my purpose? What am I here for? The Bible answers that question of identity, and it answers the question of meaning. What is the meaning to life? You know why a person kills themselves? Can I just say it? It's most fundamental position. They don't feel loved. They don't know who they are. And they don't know what their purpose is. So they just take that away from themselves. And the devil gets the glory and God gets robbed. And I'm not trying to demean that. I've had people in my family that have done that. Bible answers question number 3. How should I live? Morality. We're living in an amoral society. I don't even want to say that. It is an immoral society. But they think that there's no morality to anything. And then the 4th question, what happens when I die? And that answers the question of destiny. If more people thoroughly understood and accepted that, then there may be just fewer problems in our world. First, in regards to the origin of finances, and I just have 3 of them. Follow with me. First, we see in the origin of finances was in the place God created. What was the origin of finances? It was in the place God created. Genesis 1 and 2. We find the origin of the earth. We find the origin of light, darkness, evening, morning, waters above, waters below, heaven, seas, trees, land, fruit, seeds, grass, whales, winged things, and fowls after their kind, cattle, fish, creeping things, and fowl after their kind. And then he creates, can I say it this way, his greatest creation. Right. And what's his greatest creation? He creates man in his own image. And we see the first, again, the beginning of and the teaching of the Trinity, if you will, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who's he talking to? We're not made after the angels. He's talking to himself. You say that's strange when people talk to themselves. That's because we have a little pea brain. He's got a bigger brain than us. He's speaking to himself. Let us make man in our image. We are a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And we see that in the Trinity. Someone may say, I don't see origin of finances or money there in Genesis 1 and 2. And I would say this, I beg to differ, understanding the God of the Bible. Isaiah 46 and verse 10 says, declaring, God is declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You take any of the things, now watch this now, stay with me, I'm laying a foundation. You take any of the things I listed from creation, and I didn't list all of them. You can go back and see all the things that God created, and he said, and it was good. And it was good. You take any of the things that I mentioned and listed from creation, and I can attach a monetary value to its development. I can attach a monetary value to its distribution. And I can attach a monetary value to its demise. Land. Can you imagine the price of land nowadays? God says it's yours. Here's what you're supposed to do with it. Now look what land is and who's in control of land. We've watched what they've done. Cody and I were talking about this the other day in regards to Gene's taxes. How is it that after you've successfully paid off your house? How is that? You know why that happens? I'll tell you why it happens. I'll tell you why Cuyahoga Falls raises the taxes to an exorbitant amount. It is to pay for the mismanagement of the stewardship of the money they do have coming in. So when they build a school, they say, we mismanage the funds, we have to raise taxes. That's why I say this, and I'm not speaking of myself. I think pastors are the greatest leaders on the face of the earth. Good, true, biblical pastors are the greatest leaders on the face of the earth because they do what is impossible, in essence, but it's possible because they follow God. The other ones just strain it out of everybody else. What kind of leadership skills does the mayor of Cuyahoga Falls have when he just continues to raise taxes? Work with what you have and tax appropriately according to the scriptures. It's poor stewardship. And so we see land, its development, its distribution, or its demise. Do you ever really pay off something that you own? It all depended upon who did what and what they saw and what they were doing. Take land, for instance, I said that. When those that had it didn't understand whose it was, then watch the results from it. Here's another one, whales, fishes in the sea. Look at what still takes place today regarding them. What an amazing, can I call it an invention? lamp oil. I mean, you look at back in the day. Every fish in the sea, we were to be stewards over. That's what Adam was supposed to do. We were supposed to be stewards over it. And it was supposed to be. Now everything's government regulated, and look at what Japan does. Look what, is it Japan or China? Look what they do in the whale industry. And they figure out ways around it. And here's the thing about it. And I've already used this verse of scripture in establishing the problem of finances. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You look into the land industry. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. You look into the fishing industry. They have to put regulations and all this kind of stuff on it. You say, that's so crazy. No, go to Mogador one time. Go to Mogador. I'll say this, and I don't have a problem saying it. Go to Mogador and watch what the Amish do. They don't care about limits. They don't care about anything. And I'm not saying limits are bad, but it's stewardship. I was raised under a circuit-riding Methodist preacher that taught me proper... What would you call trapping? I'm trying to think of the term. He had a terminology for it. If you don't think that the case, it's like the coyote up here. Those things are supposed to be managed. Do you know why there's not very many turkeys? Do you know why there's not many other things? Because they don't manage it. And then, so we are supposed to be stewards of everything God gave us. And if you don't believe me, watch what takes place during the millennial reign of Christ. Those that knew how to do it here will be appointed to positions there and teach those that didn't know it how it was supposed to be done under a theocracy, not a monarchy, not a democracy, not a republic, but under a theocracy. And so any of those things that I mentioned, we can see a monetary value attached to its development, distribution, or demise. You then start seeing man's failures as stewards. Which leads us to our next. Remember, when truly studying the Bible, you must look at God's plan through the ages. What did he do, and what was he doing? You even find in the location of the place that God created in chapter 2, the rivers that flowed through it. There was gold that was present there. Study history and see where man built and some places why he built there. Where do you think most major cities started? It was near a river where there was flowing, because somehow somebody realized. The thing about so many places is there's so much biblical truth to it, but people don't see the biblical truth of it. I hope I'm not losing anybody. Study history, see where man built and some places why he built there, all around finances. Next, we see this. We looked at the origin of finances was in the place that God created. Secondly, it was in the purpose God constructed. We see God's origin of finances, money, trade, etc., started in the place that he created. God knew what was to... Some of us in here might be looking short-sighted. God gave all the resources they needed to develop into one of the most amazing places ever, and they were all right there in the resources. I find this interesting. You look at Africa. There was people... Watch this now. And I'm not trying to kick on anybody. There were people that were getting off boats in silk shirts, wooden ships, oars, cannons, gunpowder, sails, shackles, every kind of thing, shoes, buckles, everything, landing on the shore of this new place, and people were in loincloths living in shacks. And under the feet of those people were some of the greatest resources today found underneath there. And if they would have just followed God, what could have happened with it? It's not called the Dark Continent because of the color of somebody's skin. It's called the Dark Continent because they didn't have truth. And wasn't it wonderful that God decided to disperse truth, and then history comes in and clouds all that up and calls it colonization and everything else? We don't teach proper history in our school. Proper history would have a biblical base to it, not a racial base or a financial base to it. So what was the purpose? Finances, the origin of finance was in the purpose that God constructed. We see God's origin of finances, money, trade, etc., started in the place he created. Next, we see the origin of finances was in the purpose God constructed. And it is in the purpose God constructed that if you miss it, then you miss the very principles that lay the foundation. Far too many folks are looking for thou shall nots. when we don't always follow the ones we have. I'll go back to a person I've mentioned already. Do we always need a thus saith the Lord, or can we study the life of an individual in Scripture and see what he did and follow it? How was it that Joseph was so successful and yet didn't have Dave Ramsey's newest book? He didn't have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't have Proverbs. He didn't have clear principles that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount about finances. He didn't have all the parables of the New Testament. We have all those, and look at how bad we're failing. Joseph had God, and he had principles that he had seen established with Abraham and Melchizedek and Adam and so on and so forth. When I was in Bible college, my Old Testament survey professor made a statement that has impacted my whole Christian life. And this was the statement: Genesis is not by word mentioned in Scripture. It is the name used for the first book in Scripture, and it is in the beginning where you will find all that God established for us to know if we would only search for it. You can find every, you take Genesis out of the Bible and it takes away the foundation of everything else. It's an important book. So searching Scripture, what was the purpose that God constructed in the origin of finances? We have two. I want to give them to you real quick and then break them down. I'm aware of the time. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Watch these. And God said, God speaking to himself, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, plural. And let them, he knew there was going to be more than one, let them have dominion, control, ownership, leadership, stewardship over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, not just that dwelt on it, but over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, we're not the greatest, but look at some of the most heathenistic countries and look at what they do with their land, the river Ganges. Look at some of what land does. And we can get too much involved in that. But go to places that are heathenistic and look at how they treat what is God's. It's his property. It'd be like you giving me 400 acres. And you say, take care of this 400 acres. And you come back and I've just trashed it all up. Was I a good steward of it? No. Verse 27. So God created man his own image, in the image of God created he him, and male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, a stewardship term, and have dominion, a stewardship term, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you, he said, it shall be for meat. There's your supply, meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Next, Genesis 2, verse 4. He said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the fields before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man. Watch this now. He says, there was not a man to till the ground. Well, what was he tilling the ground for? Because he was to be a steward over it. He was to replenish it. He was to take care of it. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Look what God did with ground. He was a steward over it. Look what he did with it. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted. Now watch this. Here they are. Here's the foundation. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. See how he distributes? See how he develops? See what God does? And now he places this man there to do the very same thing as a steward that he was doing. And every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Boy, God knew what he was doing, didn't he? And from thence it was parted. He didn't have to drill a hole. He just made a river. and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. God knew gold would be a currency. Boy, he's smart, isn't he? And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man. Again, he planted. He took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. And here it is. To dress it and to keep it. Stewardship. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So we see, let me give you these real quick. I realize the time, I want to get these out. So we see in these two passages the genesis of God's plan and purpose. And not just for money and finances, but as well for man. He had a plan past the moment. Let's look at them and then move to the last. First, verse 8, God planted. This was the origin of finances. We see God planted. The Lord God planted, verse 8a, a garden eastward in Eden. God placed, verse 8b, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then verses 15 and 16, God pronounced, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're responsible for. And the Lord God commanded them, he pronounced, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day, the very day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Which leads us to our last aspect of the origin of finances. And that is, the origin of finances was in the plan God clarified. Now give me these again so we've got them. What was the first one? It was the origin of them was in the place God created. Secondly, it was in the purpose God constructed. We see the purpose that he constructed for finances. And then we see it was in the plan that God clarified. We see, that lastly, the origin of finances, the overall theme for our series, and that is stewardship, a biblical guide to finances. And yet everything else regarding us can be formulated and found in Genesis of this one aspect, and that is stewardship. It's twofold. We find it in the closing statements of God and his actions. Genesis 2 and verses 15 and 17. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God had commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. As we study Genesis, we begin to see the genesis of God's plan and his clarifying of it. It is twofold. Number one, first, it is a sovereign representation. Man represented God. Man was his sovereign representation. He was made in his image and therefore would conduct himself as what? God. You notice when the devil comes at him, he starts questioning all that, doesn't he? And he says, yeah, God has told you you'd be gods. We were a sovereign representation. We were supposed to be God on earth. Please don't complicate that. We were a sovereign representation. If this was God's, how would he treat it? I'm not God, I'm his representative. How am I to treat it? It's supposed to be the same way. It's supposed to be identical. And I'm supposed to walk with him and talk with him in the cool of the garden and get further instructions of how to do it. We are a sovereign representation. That is the origin of finances. We're made in his image. We conduct ourselves as he would conduct himself. And although there is not great detail of the learning process, here it is understood by what the Bible teaches us of God. He is instructive. He is informative. He is concerned. He's compassionate. Therefore, we can understand that man was taught who he was in God in the garden. This, when completely understood, helps us to better realize the failure of man. Now watch this. To whom much is given, much is required. This, when we completely understand, helps us to better realize the failure of man when he disobeyed the pronouncements that God made in the garden. He said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. James stated it like this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we see that in Adam's disobedience, what was his disobedience? He did not clearly represent the sovereignty of God in the position that he was given. And can I say this by fast forwarding? When we don't clearly represent God in the stewardship of the things that God has given us, whether it's a vehicle, it ought to have its tires rotated, it ought to have its oil changed. Mark, how would you like it if you gave me stewardship over your BMW motorcycle and I never changed the oil, I never rotated the tires, I never looked at the springs in the front, I never oiled the chain, I never did none of that, and then you come back one day and I'm supposed to represent your stewardship over ownership of that, and I give you the keys back. What are you going to think? Therefore, we can understand that what man was taught, that man was taught who he was in God. As a sovereign representative, it placed us in a responsible position as a steward over what God had placed man in. He was to care for the place and all that was within it as if God were doing it himself, which leads us to the last one. It was in the plan. The origin of finances was in the plan that God clarified. We see a sovereign representation, and we see a submissive regard. Man represented God, and now he is responsible to God. God had planted him, God had placed him, and now God had pronounced to him principles to follow. What was he to do? He was placed in the garden, he was put there, and the Lord, God told him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And as we look at the principles of finance and their origin, it is here where we see the roots of all other failures. And a very important principle: God owns everything and will instruct us accordingly concerning it, and as well hold us accountable to the failure or success of that obedience. Just as everything was God's in the garden, so it is today. And just as Adam and Eve were responsible for it, and Adam was to be his, and Eve was to be his helpmeet. Watch, God said this to Adam: listen, I don't want you to do this by yourself. I'm going to give you a helpmeet. Can I tell you how much easier the home runs when both people are on the same sheet of music? Can I tell you how finances work so much better when both people are on the same sheet of music? And I'm not going to say the tree was a tithe, but it was a picture of it. And the picture of it was this: the tithe is the Lord's. He said, you can do anything you want without. Now, this is where we get this philosophy, or I did anyways, that the tithe is God's and the rest of it's mine. I still have to keep and dress it. Every bit of my finances, I have to do those finances how God would do them: spend them accordingly, save them accordingly, and distribute them accordingly. And the tithe is his. I'm not to touch it. Because the day when I touch it, and I've said this 1,000 times, you show me somebody doesn't tithe, and I will show you somebody that their finances are absolutely out of whack, that's a Christian. Here's why. Because the day that thou eatest of it, it wasn't the tree. It was that God said, has anybody ever done this with your children? That's not yours. Don't touch it. I watch this. You don't think we got a church full of sinners? I tell them all the time, you can get one. And they're always doing it. And watch this. You know why? Because it's their nature. And you are, you have to, the beginning of your finances, you have to realize, somebody ought to be able to, I ought to be able to walk up to you or you to me, and I take your finances and I say, can I see your check? You don't have a checkbook. Can I see your Apple Pay? Can I see your bank app? And I should be able to look at that bank app and I should be able to see God. Because it's his finances. Jean can take her app. I have her app. She has her apps. Who's got a phone? Somebody's got a phone. I just want to hold one in my hand. She's got an app. I have an app. We both mirror. There's a text message. Do you know who this is? No, I'm messing. And when she sees something, she ought to be able to look at me and say, what's this? And when I explain it to her, in case she doesn't understand it, she ought to say, oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I would have done. Could God take your bank app and do that? It's his, Caleb. That means every time you spend something, is this what God would spend this on? Now, I'm not going to say that that ought to lead us to be Amish, and I'm not kicking the Amish. It's not in the things you have. It's in the things that have you. And we see that from the rich man. He said, oh, master, how might I inherit eternal life? He said, take everything you have and sell it and give it to the poor. Whoa, 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 whoa. Because he was getting to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter was the money. We are a sovereign representative. What was the other one I said? We have a submissive regard. Eve was to be his helpmeet to accomplish it. And at the same time, watch this, lips off, not hands off the tree. They couldn't eat it. They had to touch it. How do you dress a tree, buddy? How do you dress a tree and keep it without touching it? You have to touch it. But watch this. They didn't understand. And at any moment when the devil came to question that, I'm trying to think of the verses of the scripture. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death. And what's that verse of scripture? What, does anybody know it right offhand? Watch the cycle that takes place. For every person that takes a credit card and maxes it out, there was an allurement. That this, God knows, man, that when you, he's holding something back from you. Man, I'll tell you what, has anybody ever wanted something you just look at it and you go, and then all of a sudden the wheels start turning, you figure out how you can do it? That we have a system set up in that regard. It's set up that way, and they know it, and they just keep digging us deeper into it. Whatever happened to Bob Barker's Price is Right and the first number to the car was a 3. And it was only 4 numbers. You know what I'm saying? And the young people are going, what? You can't even buy a set of tires for that nowadays. And then all of a sudden it was, all my first cars were cash payments. And then they got expensive and I had to start doing it. I don't even know what the interest rates were back in those days for cars. What was it? I mean, a car was a year's salary at one time, wasn't it? And then they started realizing it, and they just keep pulling us in. And it goes from 3 years. What's that? 3 years, 12, 24, 36 to 48. There's 80-some months now you can get a car. And here's what people do. Here's what people do. Because the devil whispers in their ear. If you can just get that payment to this. Who'd ever thought we're paying $1,000 to $1,500 for a phone? You know what took place? We see it. The problem was in the origin of finances. We don't know where they originated from. It was a tree for Adam and Eve, and it's a tithe for us. Both shows us a submissive regard to his principles. I remember when somebody said it to me when I was young, and I thought that preacher had magical powers. He said, pull out your checkbook. He said, I'll tell you how much you love God and how much you love yourself. Pull your checkbook out and look at its registry and show me what's for you and show me what's for God. And I was dying, man. I had that thing in my back pocket. I either did it in the van on the way home or when I got home. And that was when it changed. Didn't change at all because it was still a developmental process and it still is today. I have those moments where it's mine. But I have to realize I'm laying up for myself treasures there, how I save it, how I spend it, how I distribute it. And if you can't, and if we can't do that, then it's not the White House that's the problem. Joseph was not affected by the governmental system, and he wasn't affected by the environmental situation. He prepared. And those are principles that we'll learn. But they were learned, watch this, in the garden. Abraham understood them. Melchizedek understood them. You say, I think we have to have every conversation that ever took place in the Bible for us to believe it's true. There was a godly genealogy, and there was a wicked genealogy. The godly genealogy continued to pass those principles on. And they cohabitated together, and they crossed over with each other. Abraham understood those principles, and he passed those. Abraham passed them on to Isaac, and Isaac passed them on to Jacob, and Jacob passed them on to his children, and so on and so forth. And what's happening today? You know why the average church is in debt, and most families are buried, is because we don't pass them on. We don't pass the memorials that they set up on the other side of the River Jordan. We don't pass nothing on, which goes back to our other problem during family conference, which was mentorship. There ought to be older men in this church that have their finances in order that take us back and disciple us and show us the origin of finances, whose they are, and what God wants us to do with them. And until we do that, then people will suffer from it. It should start in the home. But you look around this church and there's a lot of broken homes and pieces, and that's why we need mentors. Father, we'd ask you to help us, please. Help us to understand it's yours. Lord, there's been a lot of conviction in the chair in my office studying. It isn't just about what you have in the savings. It isn't that you've saved up for a rainy day. It isn't that you tithe and give to missions and special offerings. It's not just how you save, but it's just important how you spend and how you distribute. Lord, in these days ahead, I pray that you'd continue to teach all of us. Help us, Lord, that if you were to come and you were to look at our finances, our car, our house, the things that we have that are valuable, as the world calls them, assets. They're not our assets. They're yours. And we ought to be taking care of them and using them to glorify you as best as we can. Help us, I plead, individually as you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's